I want to share with you just a few thoughts in the remaining time that we have together tonight from Matthew chapter 18, looking specifically at three verses of Scripture with focusing on the middle verse of the passage that we're going to look at in Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, who is being referred to when it says in my name? Jesus Christ, specifically. He's the one that's speaking here. I want to read that verse again. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray that you'd bless this short challenge from your word. Lord, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity of prayer. And I pray, dear Father, as we look at this sweeping announcement that's given to us in this verse of Scripture about prayer, that we might take to heart the truth and that we might, as believers in Christ, rejoice in the opportunities that we have to come into your presence, to praise thy holy name, to bring our deepest thoughts and prayers before thee, our supplications for those who are suffering and those prayer requests that we can only bring before thee, we do not share with others. We pray, Father, that we might understand what that means, what that entails. And we thank you that you are a prayer-answering God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this verse of Scripture, verse 19, is a very sweeping announcement when you stop to meditate on it for just a few moments even. That where two or three gather together and they agree together concerning a particular request, that God hears that request and that He will answer that request when it's made. And I couldn't help but think in regard to this, some of the particulars as you stop to break it down, but I just want to kind of lead into it with this statement. There are two understandings that we must know about prayer. First of all, there has to be a relationship established. And secondly, there must be the development of skill in the realm of prayer. There must be a working, a desire to develop that relationship. Is that not what you did when you got married? You made a vow to each other that you would stick with each other in sickness and in health, that you would uphold each other, that you were joined together. And you know what? When you got married, you found out very quick that it was going to take a lot of work. Yep. Honey, I really wish that you would roll the tube up on the toothpaste and not leave it this big, long, flat thing that, you know, we have to try to fight the toothpaste out. And I really wish you'd put the lid down on the toilet seat. And I really wish you would pick up those socks and make sure they make it to the thing. You know, we found out it was a lot of work, didn't we, men? Because some of us got married a little bit later and we were used to the independent realm of life, you know, where you just kind of did things like, and then all of a sudden, now you're sharing everything. And we don't want to share, right? And then we find out if this is going to work, we're going to have to share. And it was like being a little child all over again. When mom would come into the room, are you two going to share those toys or am I going to have to take them away? It took some work. It takes work. It will continue to take work. You're developing a relationship. And some people look at prayer as this hocus-pocus matter, and they don't see it as a gift from God in the development of a relationship that Jesus Christ wrought when He saved us by His grace. That's what prayer is. So first of all, there has to be a relationship. And secondly, there needs to be the development of the skill of prayer in order to draw close to the Father, in order to enjoy having prayer answered. Now, here's an example, an ambassador. Let's say I get a phone call, or maybe you get a phone call, I'm not going to put myself, because I know what my answer would be if I got a phone call. No, thank you. But let's say you get a call from the president, said, you've been recommended for an ambassador's post to Timbuktu. We feel that you're uniquely qualified to represent the United States of America. Now, immediately there's a relationship established. They've done research. They found out that you're qualified to be in that role. But then you go, and then you find out what all it means to be an ambassador. You know, it takes sometimes years for people to develop the skills. You know, our ambassador that passed away in Libya was an accomplished man. He had spent his entire life being groomed in that realm of ambassadorship, and he was very good, fluent in Arabic. He knew how the people operated. He had spent his time living among the Arabs, and he knew them. He knew their customs. He knew their understandings. And when he found out that his people were being under attack, he didn't try to flee and save himself. You know what he did? He went back to save his people, and it cost him his life. Now, that took years of developing that understanding. All right, develop that skill. Now, you and I want to focus in on the first part of this, of the how of relationship of prayer. The how of relationship in prayer. The basis of prayer is a right relationship with God. I cannot emphasize that any more than I know tonight. There must be a right relationship with God. Prayer is representing God in the spirit realm of this world. You know how strange people look at you nowadays when you bow your head at a restaurant and you go to your Father and you thank Him for the food that you've provided? There are people that look in disdain. There are some people that appreciate it, but you know, it used to be people would come along and they'd put their hand on your back and say, you know what, I want to thank you. It was wonderful to see you leading your family in prayer. When was the last time that happened to you? When our children were very little, when we'd go out to the restaurant, we'd all bow our heads and have prayer together. There'd be folks that would come alongside. You said, you know, that's such a wonderful thing that you're teaching your children about prayer. But you don't see that very much anymore. With the secularization of our culture, there is a repugnance. I've got an article here in the front that I'm going to pass along to Pastor Watt because he does studies with atheists and so forth like that. But it's an article that was in the New York Times on January the 5th of this year, The Blessings of Atheism. What atheists have to offer to families of the Sandy Hook catastrophe. Mocking people who prayed to God. Blaming God for what happened. Okay? That's where we are today. And so public prayer is even coming under scrutiny in our culture today. And it's the opportunity that we have in our culture to draw attention to God at that moment. When you bow your head to pray, you're drawing attention to your God to thank Him for what He's provided. And so you better make up your mind. Are you going to continue to honor God in public? To bring God into the realm of the spiritual realm of your life in this world, and people see it? Very important. You're agreeing with God at that moment to thank Him for what He's provided. Now, prayer is a spiritual work in a physical world. It is insisting upon God's rights down here in this sphere of action, not necessarily our rights. Have you ever thought of it that way? Prayer is insisting upon God's rights. If a doctor tells me that I have a disease, and I go to him in prayer, when I go to him in prayer, I'm seeking God's rights with his body. This is his. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of God? So it belongs to God, and so you seek His face. You want God's rights to be upheld, not necessarily yours. Now we can ask God, Lord, would you sustain, would you give healing, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now, when you say that, understand what you're saying. You're saying, God, it's about you. And by the way, that's what prayer is all about. Prayer is about God. We figure in because we come to Him, but it's all about Him. God, the atheist does not believe in God. The atheist blames God. God should have intervened and stopped, but since there's no God, okay, there's no God, there must be something else. We as atheists have much to offer the victims of Sandy Hook. They have nothing to offer. They have nothing to offer. But you know what? The Sunday after, there were many of us that were praying that God would give comfort, that God would undertake. And from some of the testimonials that I have read about some of the families, not all, but some of the families, that the Lord was their greatest resource during that time as they buried their little one. You see, God has everything to offer. God will make sense out of this world. You see, this world is under the curse of sin. Because we live in a sin-cursed world and sin-filled people, there are going to be bad things that happen. God is not someone that runs around cleaning up after man. By the way, God sent His Son to bring glory unto Himself in the redemption of those who say, I desire the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So prayer is about God. And I want you to see something here in this passage of Scripture, and we're going to close here in just a moment. Clearly, the only basis for a relationship that involves prayer is Jesus Christ. Right? That's clearly the basis of a relationship. You and I have been outlawed by sin. We were in touch with God in Adam in the garden. He was the federal head of the race. Adam sinned, and so death and sin passed upon men. We're identified in Adam in that regard. We broke with Christ, or God, in Adam. The break caused by sin could not be repaired by us. Can't be repaired. Jesus Christ came. He was God and man. And so He touched both. Isn't that wonderful to meditate on? He touches both, God and man. And we get back into relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ and only by His sin death, His sin bearing of sin and His body on the cross. And therefore, we can be brought into a relationship with the Father just like Adam had in the garden, where we can walk with the Lord. And what did Adam and God do each day? They not only walked together, they talked together. Now, it's limited for us because we speak to Him and He speaks to us through His Word. Very quickly. Therefore, the blood of the cross is the basis for all prayer. Through it, the relationship is established that underlies all prayer. Only as I come to God through Jesus Christ to get the sin score settled, I accept His atoning work on Calvary's tree for me. I believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And then I'm put in a relationship where I can talk to the Father through my mediator, Jesus Christ. I'm brought into a relationship. Now, get this, verse 19. Notice the place of prayer on earth. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth, notice please the scope of prayer, as touching, what's the next two words? Anything. As touching anything. That's the scope. And the positiveness of prayer, it shall be done. I want to leave you with this thought. Whenever two people come together, husband and wife, a father with his daughter at prayer time, fixing to go to bed, a father and his sons, or a husband and wife, or maybe two people at church, or maybe two people that live thousands of miles apart, they come together to pray, there's always a third person there. If there's three people, there's a fourth person there. There's always one more that's there. And that's brought out by this text. We agree together, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Do you think about the fact that when you pray, that Jesus is there? When the different groups just met, our Lord was numbered in that group. That's the picture. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Our Lord just met with us in prayer. When you have that consciousness, it will help you in your prayer life. It becomes much more personal than just talking to something that's in outer space. Some of us are practicing atheists. We don't think about that. We don't think about the fact that when we pray with our children, that there's someone else there who's praying with us. Because as we pray, our hearts are knit with Him, and He is the mediator. He carries our prayer requests to the Father. He's our representative. He's our ambassador. And so He carries the request before the Father's name. And the Father is pleased to answer. We rejoice together on a regular basis in answers to prayer. And I want us to think carefully about the time that we spend in prayer. You know, you may be one praying, and there may be someone else around the world praying for the same prayer request. That's two people agreeing. Even though they may not know they are. We may be praying for the same missionary. People in different states, different places. And yet God says, if we pray, there I am in the midst of them. I'm hearing and I'm working to answer that prayer request. I'm so thankful that we have a God that's close to us. Amen? That our getting together tonight is not just a vain exercise. That we know that God hears and that God answers. And so, as touching anything, we can bring it before the throne of grace and God will answer. And it may be a no, it may be a yes, it may be a wait a while. But God answers the prayers of His children. And I'm thankful tonight that we have that glorious privilege on a daily basis, hourly basis, at any time, we can go to our Lord and pray and seek His face. Father in heaven, we thank You for this time together tonight, and we ask now Your blessing as we go our ways. Father, be with those of our church family who are suffering sickness, illness, maybe things that don't even come to our hearts and minds that people are dealing with right now. We pray that You would be merciful, that You would be gracious, and that Your mighty power would be established in their hearts. And Lord, we thank You that right now as we pray to Thee, that the Lord Jesus Christ is in our presence as we agree together. And Lord, we thank You that we can come to Thee knowing that our prayer requests are heard by Thee. Though the atheist would say there's no such thing, it's a vain exercise. We as believers in Christ know it's the reality of the Christian life. It's one of the great graces that's been bestowed upon us. And so, Father, may we be a praying people. Undertake for those who are traveling. Be with those who are suffering. We pray that You would strengthen us in our spiritual walk on a daily basis, that we might be people of the book. And may we be a testimony to a lost and dying world as we go our ways tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.